For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To it. Today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Tyler, you may fire when ready.
So we talked about it earlier. Obviously, the Golden State Warriors getting the sweep over the Portland Trailblazers in the Eastern Conference Finals. And looking over the Trailblazers' records the past couple years, they made the playoffs every year since the 2013-2014 season. This is obviously the farthest that they've gone in that time. They lost in the semifinals a few times, got bounced in the first rounds as well. Do they keep this success going forward, or are they going to kind of start going downhill now?
You're talking about the Blazers?
The Blazers.
I think they'll probably just maintain what they've been. As long as they've got McCollum and Lillard, those are good players, but they had been, yeah, like you just said, they had been basically exiting early in the Western Conference playoffs, and here they were able to make the finals. And I don't know. I mean, do they at least take it as a positive? They got swept in all four games, but they led for more minutes than they trailed in the series.
Uh-huh.
110 minutes they led. Golden State was behind a lot of it. But when it's all said and done, they ended up winning all four games. Who took the bigger L in the series, Portland or Kevin Durant?
I was just about to mention that, you know, they were playing a Durant-less Warriors team, and if he was out there, you know, what difference might that have made? Now, obviously, we've talked about it that the Warriors did perfectly fine before Durant ever got there, and certainly they did fine without him, but I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't have trailed as much without him. I don't know.
Maybe that's the argument for Durant is like, yeah, well, we trailed for more of the series than we led, so would that have been the case if Durant had been out there and healthy? I don't know, but it's like if he flees for free agency this offseason and ends up somewhere, I got news for you. Golden State's still the team that's going to win the NBA title next year.
So in this stretch that I've mentioned since the 2013-14 season, they faced the Warriors three different times in the postseason. You want to know what their record is against them?
I'm going to say it's 0-12.
1-12.
1-12, okay.
They won one game in the conference semifinals back in 2016.
Yeah.
And then they got bounced in the first round by them the next year and obviously got swept by them this year.
You know, it's too bad that it ended in a sweep because, you know, we could use some stuff going on. You got this, the Eastern Conference Series is... You know, at least that's got a couple games now that Toronto did win the other day. But St. Louis could win tonight in the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs are set.
Right.
So it's like all of a sudden there's not a ton that's happening in the world of sports because these NBA playoffs or at least the Western Conference got wrapped up. Because the thing is, like, the games were – all four games were entertaining,
yeah,
and good. It's just,
for sure,
unfortunately Golden State won all four of them. And now the series is over.
Like you said, I mean, Portland was the better team for essentially 2.5 quarters each time. And then, you know, the Warriors decided to wake up from a nap and they go on a run in the third. And that's pretty much all she wrote.
No, and then, I mean, Curry was terrific in the series, too.
Well, because last night I was flipping between the Braves game and the Western Conference Finals. And, like, the Warriors are down by 15. And I changed the channel to the Braves for... It had to have been maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and I come back and they're tied.
Well, it's like even at the end of the first half, Portland was up 9 with, like, there was less than a minute left.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know, Golden State scored, 7-point game. And then, you know, Portland comes down and they're, for whatever reason, they're in a rush and they miss a shot or something. And
right.
Golden State comes right back, scores. And suddenly it's a 5-point game. And then here's the thing. Portland inbounds the ball and turns it over.
Yeah.
And Golden State throws a shot up from half court that darn near went in.
Yep.
But even at that moment, it's like, because it felt like Portland really had played about as good as they possibly could. I mean, they have this dude on their team named Myers Leonard.
Yeah.
Who I loved because I thought, like, what is that? Is that a hyphenated last name? No, his name is Myers Leonard. And, I mean, the guy scored, like, over 20 points in the first half. It was just ripping threes. Like, there's no way that he can sustain that for another half, and he didn't. But it was like, oh, they're only up by five. I thought that was bad news for him, and they really looked like they were about to go into halftime, like in kind of in control of that. But then when they were only up by five at half, I felt like they'd basically blown it.
Right. You know, it was funny because I have like the streaming television service, which is delayed from like if you were watching on standard like cable TV or whatever. And it's usually about a minute behind, you know, what a standard live broadcast is. And so I'm watching this game in overtime and there's still like, I don't know, 30 seconds left, and I get the update. Warriors win in overtime.
Yeah,
I was like, well,
you got to turn those notifications off.
Yeah, I guess so. But I should have known.
Yeah. No, but Portland was, they at least had some cracks. But like, that was the other thing that struck me with even with Lillard last night. Like, he's another one of those guys that he's a fine player. He's good, but he's just, he peaks as he's an all-star.
Right.
But beyond that, when it's the game's on the line, and he just, you know, they had a shot to at least maybe tie the game there of the last possession. They had about 3 seconds left. They threw it into him. He just took some bad, you know, he was fading away three-pointer that had no chance of going in. But, like, if that had been Curry or Thompson, the thing's, you know, nothing but net. But
right.
know, Lillard's not even remotely close to being on that level.
Like you said, when it comes down to the playoffs, it's all about who the best player on the other on each team is.
Yeah, and Golden State had it. I do think that a case could certainly be made if they play Milwaukee in the finals that Milwaukee will have the best player in the series.
I'm legitimately excited for the finals.
Yeah,
to see Giannis versus Steph Curry.
But that's the thing. It's like Curry is really like stepped it up now in the absence of Durant. And like Draymond Green is playing great.
I'm sure Durant's going to be back for the finals.
He will, but I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, really, it doesn't.
Golden State they're going to win it either way,
right?
With or without him. That's why I was like, so who? I mean, who's taking the bigger L here, Durant or whoever Golden State's beating?
True. We're moving over to baseball. We've talked about it already. That Georgia will be in action tomorrow morning taking on Texas A&M. And again, Georgia's already locked up the region, hosting the regional next weekend and everything. Would you rather them get bounced early from the tournament and have extra rest, or would you like them to make a deeper run where they have momentum on their side?
Now, if I was in like Jeff or Dave's position, even though, like, well, Jeff probably wouldn't have any problem admitting this, but, you know, Dave maybe, I don't want to speak for them or anything like that, but I would be cool with them losing two games so I could come home and, like, enjoy Memorial Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
But, I think it would be, I guess I'd rather just Georgia win and maybe win the SEC tournament because they've never done that.
First time ever.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that. And then maybe Losey and Hancock, they could pitch this weekend and not have an entire weekend off. But ultimately, I really don't think it matters one way or another.
Right.
I guess if Georgia made a run where they played Sunday and won, I mean, could Georgia end up getting the number one overall seed in the tournament? I mean, maybe that's
give more favorable matchups.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, maybe there's something to be said for that. But the projection that I looked at earlier in the day had them right now as a four seed.
It's pretty solid.
If they won the SEC tournament, like I said, I mean, could they move up a couple spots? Maybe be number one overall if there's any value in that. Maybe that's something to consider. But
right.
Really, it is it's something. This SEC baseball tournament is if 11 teams from the league are getting bids, and you know, like there's no chance that South Carolina can win from today to Sunday and claim an automatic bid. It really is. It might be more pointless than the Western Conference regular season in the NBA.
Right.
And there's just nothing. There's no reason to even stage this event.
Yeah.
I mean, what's at stake for any of the teams in it? You know, I mean, maybe you're just jockeying for some seeding or positioning. That's the thing with Texas A&M, Georgia facing the Aggies tomorrow. it's not a question of whether or not they're going to be in the postseason. It's maybe they've got a case to at least host a regional. So, I mean, that could be something that they're fighting for.
Right. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Sticking with baseball, Ronald Acuna has finally been batting in the leadoff position for the Braves. Things have been going pretty well.
Yeah.
How would this season be looking if he started off the season at leadoff? Think it would have made a difference?
I don't think it would have made a huge difference, because when you think back to the first month of the season, it was like Atlanta's offense was pretty good, even with him hitting cleanup. It's just as a matter of, like, it could be better if he was hitting leadoff and getting more plate appearances and guaranteed to bat in the first inning and all that. But here he is now, two straight games. He's led off the game with a home run, but
first pitch last night.
Yeah, I think when you look at really what's gone on here in this spell the Braves are on, is Julio Teheran this month has pitched 17 innings and given up one run. Yeah, Mike Soroka's ERA is 1.01. After entering last night's game, 0.98. He flirted with perfection and gave up one run. He gave up a home run. Yeah. Two hits Giants had.
Mm-hmm.
So it raised his ERA, but it's the pitching is just peaking. And if there's any way that they can maintain it, that'd be great. But I don't know that it would have been a huge difference if Acuna had been hitting leadoff the whole time. But he should have been.
Yeah.
And now he's... You know, he was stuck on six home runs for a while, and now he's up to 11, right?
Because he had, it was almost right at a month he didn't have a home run.
Yeah, remember I mentioned that
yeah,
day?
Yeah, I was surprised by that fact.
He homered that night.
He homered that night because it was like April 16th until, which game was it that he finally got that other home run?
The day I mentioned it. It was the Arizona.
It was the Arizona series? Okay, yeah. So almost right at a month without a home run, and then, reeling off. Five in like the past week and a half.
Or maybe it might have been he homered in one of those Dodgers games that Atlanta lost.
It was during that week. I remember that. But it's, just shy of a month without any, and then, reeling off five in, the course of like 2 weeks.
Then he launched that one at Arizona on that Friday game after the Braves had lost four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were tied 1-1 in the eighth inning, and Acuna came up and just blasted that one to center field. And again, he was hitting leadoff that night. Now, had he been hitting cleanup, he wouldn't have been up to bat then.
So if he hits another dinger tonight, is he getting beaned on Wednesday?
Let's hope not. That would only be three games in a row with a leadoff homer.
Still, and I get it that the Giants aren't like our division rival or anything, but... According to that pitcher's code,
I know you
ask Keith Hernandez. You gotta brush him back off the plate a little bit.
Yeah, what happens if a guy hits three homers in a game? Off, you can't let him hit a fourth. Well, why not?
Yeah,
I mean you're not trying to let him hit a fourth. But
I gotta say, why don't you pitch better?
You're allowed just to pitch to him though. You don't have to hit him on purpose.
It's like it's not your fault that he's hitting. It's not his fault that he's hitting home runs. It's yours because you're not pitching well enough.
Well, like Atlanta doesn't need to engage in that nonsense anymore, because the way their vengeance on Jose Urena went, it didn't go well at all.
No, it didn't.
Because it got Gausman ejected from the game in the second inning, and also at the time the Marlins had runners on second and third, so the Braves were willing to load the bases for and as it turned out, they ended up walking Urena too.
Right.
And so the bases were loaded for turn the Marlins lineup over.
At least, because they ended up sweeping the series anyway, but the Marlins are a bad enough team that you can play with house money that way and not have to worry about it.
I guess, yeah. Although don't tell that to the Mets, who got swept by them over the weekend.
True.
And didn't score in the last two games.
You've already kind of mentioned what my next question's asking, but this past... Really, coming off that four-game losing streak, things have been great for the Braves. Pitching's good. Offense has been good. How long can they sustain the success?
Well, I think the offense I have confidence in and have the whole time. I think the Braves have a really good lineup, but it comes down to how much do you trust the starting pitching. And, Soroka's the guy, though, he's living up to his hype. He was one of the phenoms in the organization, and he's out there looking like Greg Maddux.
Right.
I don't know if we would have expected it this fast. What is he now, 21?
Mm-hmm. Young guy.
You know, Freed was, I mean, I don't, you know, before Soroka finally started to come along, I mean, Freed was early on. He was kind of the ace of the staff, but it still comes back to Julio Teheran is running really good right now.
Right.
And he's made three starts in May. He's given up one run in 17 innings. Does that give me, though, any more confidence now all of a sudden that I trust that he'll go out there tonight and not just lay an egg? And I have to say it doesn't. I still think, like, with Teheran pitching, it could go either way.
Well, how many good starts in a row out of him would it take for you to be like, okay, I trust him now?
Probably like the rest of the season. Yeah.
And then if he starts opening day next year, you'd be like, well, I don't know.
No, if he continues on the, you know, sort of like his current, maybe you're talking about one run in like 17 innings, but if, you know, if he maintains some sort of this level for the next 4.5 months and he started opening day next year, I'd be like, okay, yeah, he was good last year. Sure. Let him start opening day again.
And then he gives up a first pitch home run, and it's right. Like, well, here we go again.
Well, right now, though, you're looking at Soroka feels like he might be the opening day starter in 2020.
That, because how many years in a row has Teheran been the opening day starter?
Wasn't this his eight? It was eight. Seven or eight.
Yeah, it's been a pretty long streak.
Yeah. I mean, it's a franchise record.
Yeah.
Like, of all the, you know, Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, no, Julio Teheran.
That's going to be a fun trivia question in a couple years.
Yeah. And he's just tacked onto his own record this year because he already had the record.
Yeah.
This just added another game to it.
Right. Yeah, ooh, it was a rough first game.
The funny thing is I think number two on the list is Rick Mailer. It's even still not even Glavin, Maddox, or
right.
Smoltz with number two.
Yeah.
It's Rick Mailer.
It's interesting.
Yeah, but right now you'd have to – I would say that Soroka's kind of in line to probably start opening day next
looking
year.
Looking good. Knock on wood. Hope he can sustain it.
Yeah.
But, all right, wrapping up the 5 at 5. You know, motorsports are my thing. And this Sunday is my favorite day of the year. Three big races across three different series. Can you name all of them?
Yes. There is, of course, the Indianapolis 500.
Correct.
Where is Dale Earnhardt Jr. is driving the pace car.
He's driving the pace car.
Then there's the Coca-Cola 500 or
bigger,
600.
600.
Coca-Cola. And then there's the Grand Prix of Monaco.
Correct.
Boom.
For F1.
But that's on like early in the morning,
yeah,
right? Now,
like,
you're going to get up and watch that?
I will get up and
what
watch it.
What is it, still like at 5 a.m.?
No, it's like 9, 9:30.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad. And they usually it'll usually end around, I don't know, 11, 11:30. And then that goes the three races line up well, where as soon as you finish one, you go right into the coverage of the other. And, you know, so essentially, I can spend 14 hours on Sunday watching motorsports without, you know, skipping a beat.
It's like, because Indy starts at what, like 11 or 1?
Right after 12.
Okay. And then the Coca-Cola 600 is at night.
Just after 6.
Yeah, all right.
So.
Yeah. That's a day.
It's my favorite day of the year, man.
So, is there any weather? I know there's not any in Charlotte.
There's not any in Charlotte.
In Indy?
I'm not aware of any at Indy. I have to look that up. You want to take a wild guess at the pole speed for the Indianapolis 500?
I wouldn't even. Is it? It's over 200 miles an hour.
229.992 miles an hour.
Okay.
Simon Pagenaud.
All right. What about how fast do they go in Monaco?
I have to check the speeds on that. That's a street course, so they're obviously
right.
Not going to be going as fast. I need to see what the weather is for Indy this Sunday. Ooh, actually, there's some rain in the forecast. That's not good.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, you don't need that. That could make things interesting.
Well, who is the who do you like in the NASCAR race?
Oh, well, on the Up to Speed podcast last night, which you can listen to on 960ref.com and iTunes, I actually picked Kurt Busch. His teammate Kyle Larson won the All-Star race this past weekend, so I just kind of went with the team success there. But I don't know. This has been a really weird season. They have this new rules package that kind of, you know, makes some of these races a little more random than they have been in the past. So it's kind of tough to pick week to week.
Is there any controversy with Dale Earnhardt Jr. driving the pace car at Indy? Is he like a sellout or anything? Or
no, so
no big deal.
He's he works for NBC now.
Sure, yeah.
Which they cover the second half of the NASCAR season, and just this year they are the exclusive home to IndyCar. So this is the first time the Indy 500 hasn't been on ABC in like 50 years. So they're kind of going all out with their coverage. So he's going to be there. And
so it's promotion.
It's promotion, yeah. And, you know, he does. God, he was at the Kentucky Derby a couple weeks ago.
But don't they, like NASCAR has a race there now too, right?
Yeah,
so
they
it's
race,
not like he's never run there, right?
No, he's run there. They race there in September now. It'll actually be July 4th next year. It'll be around July 4th.
Well, what are they doing? I thought they went back to Daytona on the 4th of July.
Well, next year that's changing. The Daytona race is getting moved to September.
See, tradition.
Yeah.
Sports just don't care.
Yeah, they throw tradition out the window quite often. They moved the Southern 500 from Darlington to California in 2004, and there was a lot of backlash from that. It got moved back in 2015, but,
so yeah. They moved a race from South Carolina to California?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, that was when they were, you know, they were printing money at that point, so they could kind of do those things and it was okay, but as things started to regress, they're
right.
Like, all right, I think we need to restore this tradition.
Well, that's the thing. That's what they know, though. It's like, well, here's where we got you. We know you're still going to watch. PGA
right.
Championships moving to May? Well, I didn't watch it.
You've protested.
Yeah, I guess I protested.
You didn't watch any of it the entire weekend.
I didn't see a single shot. Now, here's if the tournament had maybe been closer or good on Sunday, and I know it did. It ended up where at one point Koepka only had a one-shot lead.
Yeah.
But on Thursday at noon, it was like, well, Koepka's going to win. And ultimately he did, but then we went in there with a seven-shot lead. And like, no, I didn't see a single shot of it. Plus, it's when it's at the end of August, it's like that's all there is going on. But,
yeah.
You know, this weekend there was – August, too, is kind of like, you know, Major League Baseball games in August are a little weird as far as, like, teams' effort levels go.
Right.
But here you're still – it's May. These games still – you know, every team is still trying at this point. So baseball is kind of a bigger deal at this point. You've got these NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. There's just more going on.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, Jeff was talking about last week, that he loved the PGA Championship in August because it got him excited for football. He's like, all right, I watch this when it's over. Football's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's the next big event. But
nobody cares about tradition anymore.
No. And then Koepka was running away with it. So
I heard something about I guess that's his girlfriend.
Yeah, she's from Jenna Sims. She's from Winder.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. But apparently she didn't like he wasn't being affectionate enough when he won or something like that.
Oh, I didn't know that story.
I don't know. Just like she tried to give him a kiss and he was like, no, I'm going to kiss this trophy instead.
Gave him some kind of look.
I don't
PDA.
Know.
PDA.
I don't know. Maybe
he's not into that.
Trying to keep it professional for the cameras. That's just what I heard.
Okay. No, I didn't catch that. Maybe if someone had told me that the Dustin Johnson was all of a sudden one shot back, I probably would have turned it on then, but I didn't even have any idea because I wasn't watching it. And I just didn't even imagine that Koepka was going to lose.
As Koepka continues his interesting career of only winning the big ones.
Yes. Yeah. No, so he's going to win the U.S. Open now.
Except besides that one, was the Waste Management Open.
He won that in 2015.
That's his only non-major win.
It is, yeah. So, he could end up, if he ended up with like eight major championships, which would tie Tom Watson, because, you know, Jeff looked it up yesterday. Like, Tom Watson won like 40 other tournaments.
Right.
Like, it would be great. I would love it if Brooks Koepka at the end of his career is like, he won as many majors as Tom Watson,
and
those are
nothing else.
Yeah, and those are the only tournaments he won. It's just it's a fascinating career.
Well, hey, that's the ones that people remember, right?
Yeah, but now it's like he is finally, like, the odds makers have caught on. He's the favorite at the U.S. Open right now. It's not Dustin Johnson. It's not Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler. It's Brooks Koepka. Like, how could he not be? But like, so that's now he'll stop winning now that he's not like
right.
He's 30 not, to 1 to win.
He's not the dark horse underdog anymore.
No, yeah. So now that he's favored and everyone will start piling cash on him at a bad price, start losing.
Then
now.
He'll start winning the smaller tournaments.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe, yeah. All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.